When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
When someone excels in their music, they may be given a title of royalty, the queen or king of a genre. Today, we are looking at one important voice that left us way too early. Meet you at the table as we discuss the king of soul, Otis Redding. I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia. We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South. And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair.
Well, here we are, sis.
Sitting at the kitchen table.
Yes, we are. We are sitting at the kitchen table.
I don't have all the other lyrics.
Reminiscing.
I'm not that good.
We're not paying any royalties on that 5 seconds of glory that was attributed to the great Otis Redding. And we are going to spend the whole episode talking about this legend because he deserves his own episode.
He deserves his own episode and just was gone too early.
Way too early.
What could have been?
Yeah.
Think about that with a lot of these music artists that are gone too early.
Yeah, but I don't like to think about that because then it just seems like
that we're questioning
too depressing.
God.
Yeah. Oh. Well, just to it. Yeah. Just I try and just focus on that's amazing that they accomplished that much in such a short time.
Yeah. I'll keep singing. I'm thinking, but only the good die young.
That's right. That's right. Well,
I can't even sing, and I'm singing on here. What is wrong with me?
Stop giving us a microphone, folks. Well, we wanted to focus on Otis because he is absolutely Southern. He was born in Dawson, Georgia, and his family moved to Macon, Georgia, which is just south of Atlanta, when he was 2 years old. At a very early age, he began his career as a singer in the Vineville Baptist Church.
So many amazing singers started at church.
Absolutely. It is an integral place of so many performers getting a chance to perform.
That's true.
Getting a chance to be trained. A lot of these musicians didn't have music lessons, per se.
Yeah.
But they were a part of a choir or a part of,
maybe getting at least a little direction through that.
Yeah. So Otis Redding attended Ballard Hudson High School, and he did participate in his school band. As a teenager, he began to compete in the Douglas Theater talent shows, and it was a $5 prize, which I'm sure that was big money at that time. After winning 15 times straight, Otis was no longer allowed to compete.
That's really funny to think about in a small, little towns.
Like, Otis, come on, let somebody else have a chance. You're out. I really wish, actually, though, that our entire episode could have Redding's music as our sound bed.
Oh my gosh.
Because he had so many amazing hits, but I don't want to infringe upon any music rights. And so look him up if you haven't listened to his catalog in a long time and be reminded why he is the king of soul.
Yes.
Let me just list a few hits just to remind you if it's been a while. Hard to Handle, I Can't Turn You Loose, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
I mean,
Respect. Yes. Aretha Franklin's Respect was written by Otis Redding. Mr. Pitiful, Old Man Trouble, Sweet Soul Music, These Arms of Mine, and on and on. He even covered Try a Little Tenderness.
Oh my gosh.
Is that what you were about to say? Yes,
that song I love so much, but I have a memory that I always see in my mind when I hear that song. Do you know what it is?
Oh, for sure. It's Ducky, right?
Yes.
Is it Ducky?
In the record store.
Of 16 Candles.
Of,
Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink.
Yes.
I always get those two mixed up.
So great.
Yeah.
When he's dancing around. So great.
And yeah. So any of those songs, if they don't, if they're not ringing a bell, just right now, go over to your Spotify. Go ahead and queue up some Otis Redding. Because
and
he
thank us
is,
later.
Yeah. He is exquisite. And you know what? I love, he is categorized as the King of Soul. And I love a statement that you and I saw recently that described soul music, which was secular music with a substantial gospel influence.
Yes.
And as I just read his bio, that's what it is.
Yeah.
He originated his training in church through different gospel music experiences.
So it has that emotional feel to it, but yet the lyrics are secular lyrics.
Yeah. He seems like, to me, an old soul. One of those people that is so beyond his age.
Especially, I mean, okay, spoiler alert, in case you don't know, he's going to die early. We've already mentioned that.
Yeah.
But 26?
Yeah, so even...
To think about the way his sound was.
Right.
And he was 20, 22, 24
yeah,
singing those songs.
Yeah, I have no idea how
that's
somebody
so
that young has that sort of maturity in their songwriting.
And
but
passion
even
in
his,
their voice.
Say his like physicality. Like for some reason, the generation of the 50s and 60s, when you see photographs of young people, and I'm saying like young people, meaning like people in their teens and 20s.
They look
so much older.
That's true.
In the way that they dressed and carried themselves.
Let's talk about how they dressed too. In
oh
that
my
whole
gosh.
Time. Like, you know, these singers were dressed when they were on stage.
To the nines.
I love that.
It would probably look like costumes today. Because it would be tuxedos, ties.
Right. A drummer.
Blazers.
With a tie on,
matching blazers. You know, uniformity across bands.
You don't see that much now. I mean, you see a few bands that are choreographed with like
a theme.
Theme.
Like they're all in
much.
Some sort of denim, right? And it's like frayed on one and it's, you know, like a tie
so
on another. Yeah.
Not like this, though.
There's not sequined backup singers in pumps and... You know.
Right.
It's completely different.
And the people coming to see those singers were dressed different.
Yeah.
Dressed up.
Yeah.
Well, Otis joined Johnny Jenkins and the Pine Toppers in 1958. And I thought this was funny. He's not only joining the band, he was also the driver.
Oh, that's right.
And so he drove Johnny Jenkins to Memphis, Tennessee for a recording session in August 1962 at Stax Records.
Hey, Memphis.
So at the end of the session, the Stax co-owner, Jim Stewart, allowed Otis to cut a couple of songs with the remaining studio time.
That's crazy.
So that resulted in These Arms of Mine, released in 1962. And... I believe also the single I've Been Loving You Too Long.
Okay.
So anyhow.
Released on records.
Because
like vinyl
records.
Because
he just happened to be there.
Right.
With a little extra time.
They have like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of studio time that's already been booked and paid for. So if anybody wants to grab a mic, right, and cut a record, here's your chance.
Jump on there and do it well.
Yeah.
Well, after a lot of years of sewing in and... You know, a lot of hard work. His sacrifices finally started paying off, and he appeared on stages throughout the United States, Canada, Europe, and the Caribbean. He was one of the biggest box office smashes of any touring performer during his time.
That's crazy. I really feel like he is singled out as a performer or a songwriter that just had a couple of hits, not as a performer.
Right. And think about, too, just the times that this was, the 60s. You know, racial tensions are high. In a lot of places, you know, for the most part, black artists were playing to black audiences.
Good
this
point.
This started to supersede that, like where he was able to be accepted for singing in both black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Audiences.
Which, I mean, I don't even know how you do that crossover.
At that time.
At that time.
Exactly. Now at that it's time. Wonderful
yeah.
that it's yeah. not a thing. But, yeah. And
so, yeah.
Well, one of the big things that really put him on the map as a performer was the Monterey Pop Festival.
Okay, so that's Monterey, California, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
3-day festival held June 16th to 18th, 1967.
Wow. Before Woodstock, before Summer of Love.
Before that, in fact, it became an inspiration and a template for Woodstock and
okay.
other festivals, okay. which were that was 2 years later.
Okay.
So crazy. So to think about at that Monterey Pop Festival, not only did you have Otis Redding, you had Jimi Hendrix, The Who.
Whoa.
Janis Joplin. And both Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin leave us shortly after that too. So,
oh, that's kind of weird to think about.
Very weird to think about. That
wow.
Many of them were gone.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're right. The Monterey Festival really shifted him from not just a performer for the black audience. Now he's crossed over.
Yes.
And also during his time in San Francisco, the San Francisco Bay, right?
So he played 3 shows in 1966 at the Fillmore West Auditorium. And Bill Graham, who ran that auditorium, asked him, would you like to stay in a hotel or would you rather stay at a boathouse near Sausalito?
Oh, yeah.
Redding really liked the outdoors, so he chose the boathouse. Well, that's where he was sitting on the dock of the bay.
That's so crazy.
And wrote the lyrics of that unbelievable song. And he knew he was onto something when he wrote those lyrics, because apparently he called Steve Cropper, who was a guitarist at Stax.
Like in their house band.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he called him and said, I've got a hit.
Wow.
And couldn't wait to get with him to finish writing it.
Wow.
And get it going.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So Steve Cropper, who was this guitarist, co-wrote the song with him.
Okay.
And another thing I thought was really sweet was he said when they were, you know, when he was co-writing the song and singing the song, Cropper's playing the guitar, and Otis Redding, he said, was really fun and funny, and he kept making these, like, seagull sounds.
No way. Like, that he had heard?
That he had heard while he was sitting on the dock of the bay. And so Steve wanted to put some of those in the song, kind of
wow.
just to honor that, because Otis Redding never got to hear the finished song.
Yeah. So Sitting on the Dock of the Bay was recorded 3 weeks before his untimely death in December of 1967. He was on a plane, and they were going over some icy waters in Wisconsin on their way to a show, and
I believe we're pretty close, too.
They were very close. I mean, 4 miles, I think, is what wow. I read. But there was some really bad conditions. There's really not anything cited as the true reason for the plane going down. But all but one of the band members or people on board, because the pilot passed away as well, actually survived. All but one.
All but one died.
Yes, sorry.
Only one survived.
And I also thought this was kind of weird. So there weren't enough seats on the plane for the entire band to go from show to show. They always had one that they were like short one seat.
Okay.
So they always had somebody that would kind of rotate, and that person would fly commercial to the
wow.
next city.
So there's survivor on the plane, and then one that was the one that flew commercial that day.
Yeah. I even read that Little Richard had told him, like, don't be flying in these conditions. Like,
wow.
I think there was even some, so it's really hard to be like, oh no, like, were they given warnings that they didn't heed?
Yeah.
How
or
do
did
you
they
know?
Just think, our plane's good enough, we'll be fine.
Right. How do you know? Like, or were they thinking, what's Wisconsin? There's always going to be, you know, tough conditions. But Sitting on the Dock of the Bay is credited with influencing the soul movement by combining traditional rhythm and blues with folk. And it was, what was the Billboard sort of?
Well, yeah. So
It did receive an award, or not an award. It was a chart topper. But that was after, of course, he had already passed away. So he didn't get to even see it.
It was the first ever posthumous number one song.
Yes, that's what I was trying to think of.
So the person already being passed away, and then the song hits number one. That was the first time that had ever happened.
And actually, three albums of Redding's recordings were released posthumously. And it wasn't until 1989 that Redding was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He was in the Georgia Music Hall of Fame in 1981, and then Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 89.
Okay.
And then in 99, he received a Lifetime Achievement Grammy.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's interesting to think, you know, all of that so long after his passing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought this was pretty interesting, too, about the song Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. The music licensing company BMI named this as the sixth most performed song of the 20th century.
What?
With around 6 million performances.
That's insane. Oh my gosh, I can't
Hello,
even.
Hello, royalties.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow is right.
Well, he actually really sounds like he was a good man, too. I mean, obviously, we didn't know him, but I believe he was really had a heart for different races and cultures and just how music could supersede that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting when you think about, you know, I think sometimes when things were, this was before our lifetimes.
Right.
So that just seems like so long ago. But Redding died 5 months before Martin Luther King Jr. was shot in Memphis, and the song was recorded in Memphis. So think about just all that is.
Yeah.
And how amidst all of that racial tension, here he was with a white producer and a mixed race band singing this song that just supersedes all of that mess. Mm-hmm.
It does. It's a very peaceful song.
Pretty amazing. And yeah, he just seems like he was a good man.
Yeah.
I think he was cared a lot about being a family man, and I think he was probably a pretty good businessman.
Oh yeah, and I had read he'd even actually already started his own record label while he was still living. So I think he was business minded as well, really wanting to raise up the next generation of songwriters and artists.
That's right. And so it's beautiful that his widow has continued that legacy. And, you know, it's cool when the legacy lives on, when the person's taken too early. So there's an Otis Redding Foundation.
Yep.
The mission is to empower, enrich, and motivate all young people through programs involving music, writing, and instrumentation.
That is awesome. And, even before his passing, he was already awarding scholarships to young students to continue their education. And yeah, like you said, the foundation, it was founded in 2007.
Okay.
And there's an Otis Redding Museum. It's located on Cotton Avenue, right in the heart of downtown Macon. And it has a lot of Otis's treasures, and they have exclusive merchandise, and all the proceeds go to this foundation that we're talking about. But if you're anywhere near Macon, Georgia, and you have a loved one or a family member or friend that's a young person that has interest in music,
I mean,
you might want to check out some of these programs that the Otis Redding Foundation is doing, because they sound awesome.
They sound awesome, and the price is so reasonable.
Uh-huh.
So there's a Camp Dream. It's a one-week summer camp that teaches creative arts to elementary school children. Throughout the week, campers will learn about piano, guitar, percussion, stage movement. They work together to write a song, and they perform that at the end of the week.
I love it.
Which will be so fun.
I love it.
But that, is a week-long camp from 9 to 3, and it's $200.
Yeah, that's unbeatable, for sure.
It's really good.
For sure.
And then there's the Otis Music Camp, which is a two-week camp in the summer focused on songwriting, music theory, vocal and performance technique, and music business.
Okay, yeah.
So probably a little older focus, yeah. I would guess, on this one.
Yeah, so that might be more high school.
Yeah. So they jam-pack the week. This year, it's June 7th to 17th. And they do a final performance at the end as well.
That's
and
awesome.
It's an 11-day program for $400.
That's amazing. Amazing. You can't go to any camp for that kind of price. You can't. I mean, you can't go paint.
Our free VBS at church. Well, but most of them are.
Yeah, there is
true
that.
Camps are pretty expensive.
Where you're learning a skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I loved it, of course, because they did a podcast. And I'm saying they did a podcast because I'm not sure if they're producing new episodes. But the Otis Redding Foundation did the Dreamcast, which was a bi-weekly podcast created by the students of the
cute.
Otis Music Camp in Macon. And each episode of the Dreamcast features stories and conversations with these artists and they just tell their stories, and some of them are from Macon, some of them are from around the world. So you're getting to actually hear the voices of those that experience the camp. So,
very cool.
Dreamcast.
Very cool. Well, if this subject has been interesting and you want more Otis Redding or just hearing more about that time period and when he was thriving, I came across a really interesting book. It was actually, it's called Otis Redding, An Unfinished Life by Jonathan, I'm not sure how you say his name, Gould?
Wow.
G-O-U-L-D.
What great a title.
Right? Yeah. He also wrote an article in The New Yorker for the 50th anniversary of Redding's death. So that was in 2017.
Okay. Yeah.
That kind of sounded like he was pulling some from this book. But anyhow. Okay. The book not only goes a lot into Otis's life and history, but even kind of what was going on in the world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded really interesting how they kind of talk about the social history from which he emerged.
Yeah, because there was a lot.
Some of the things we were talking about.
Yeah.
So if you want more, dig into Otis Redding, An Unfinished Life by Jonathan Gould. And
that's awesome. And I would say even, you know, we mentioned the Otis Redding Museum, but if you want a broad look at all of the soul music that he was a part of, even the Stax Museum in Memphis.
Yes.
Is an awesome visit. We've been there and it's well done. It's in the heart of Memphis and you're going to get to experience not just Otis, but the entire roster of artists that made
Wilson
up.
Wilson Pickett and the Staple Sisters and lots of soul artists.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the museum actually sits where the recording studio once was.
Yes.
It's no longer in business, which is its own sad story. But yeah, it's right there on the premise of where all these great musicians came and recorded songs. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this episode of the Steel Magnolias podcast. Hope you've been inspired to just learn a little bit more. And if you have forgotten some of the awesome things that Otis Redding did, we hope you'll click over to wherever you like to listen to music and listen to a little bit of him today. We'll put a link in our notes to an Otis playlist for y'all. Okay. Lainey, peace be with you.
And also with y'all.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity, affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs, delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code PODCAST before checkout for 50% off your first week.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.